En USPS entregamos más paquetes para que tú también puedas hacerlo.
¡Llegaron mis zapatos de fútbol! Más rápido de lo que esperaba.
¿Entrega para la futura deportista?
¡Huepa! Llegó la sortija y le va a encantar. Está en ella.
¿Entrega para una futura esposa?
¡Oye! ¡Llegó mi nueva computadora!
¿Entrega para una futura startup? En USPS, sin importar el negocio que tengas, siempre estaremos entregando por ti. Entregamos para todos. Conoce más en usps.com/paratodos.
It is Mother's Day, and we are about to witness the big Mother's Day moment.
We absolutely are, and I, for one, am both nervous and excited.
Here we go.
It's a beautiful royal blue designer bag that she got at Marshall's for an incredible price.
Oh, Priya's done very well. I mean, look at that woven detailing and the Italian leather.
Forget about that. Look at Mom's face.
We have tears, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that good?
Oh, that's good.
Mom loves it.
And I love that Italian leather.
Fabulous brands.
Feel good prices. Every day at Marshall's.
Welcome to Destiny. Now here's your host, Cliff Dunning.
I was just noticing that the conferences and the expositions are starting to ramp up again. The local, here in San Francisco, the local conference that I used to be a part of, which is called New Living Expo, is scheduled for May. And that's good news for those who are missing out on seeing their favorite authors, their favorite conference presenters and speakers, to get, you know, healing, to get more information on a topic that they may find interesting. And as a former program director, one of the most interesting and provocative, if not fun, topics that was a regular and well-attended is dream work. And when we start talking about dreams, for a long time, it was cute, you know, 60s, 1970s, and so on. And as we began to look at it a little closer and get a sense of how our ancestors used dreams, they have become a therapeutic form of wellness now, and staying well and help, you know, and analyzing your dreams and so forth. And it's come full circle. And what we have learned since we began really analyzing our dreams is that not only did our ancestors covet and developed important dream time, it turns out that a lot of people have used them for creativity, for healing trauma. And this was something that our ancestors used quite regularly. Now, we know the native traditions in the United States, and I've spoken to many elders, there not only does a shaman use dreams for prophecy, understanding what's the future, but they also look at individual situations. A person could be ill, a person could be distressed, or wanting to know knowledge, and that shaman would go into a dream or whatever. Or, and this is coming up now more fully, is that individuals were trained how to use their dream time to get answers to questions and things. So today we're talking about dreams, and my guest today is speaking on not only her practice as a dream work therapist, but how far and how important dream work is. Now, I'm one of these people that don't remember their dreams. Now, I know I dream because occasionally I will have a profound dream that will wake me up. And if I'm smart, I'll write it down. But I haven't remembered my dreams now off and on for a couple of years. And I mean, I'm not a bad person for not having my dreams, but I'm missing out on the subtle images and messages and symbology that is found in dreams. And so I need to begin asking and intending to have nightly dreams because they are an important resource. A lot of people, well, there's a group of people who feel that dream contact can cross over into dimensional communication. There's even people on the UFO ET side of things that believe that people from other planets, beings from other planets, can connect with us in our dream state because it's a different level of consciousness. It's a different level of awareness that we have, and we're more open to communicating with other beings, other sources in that state of mind. So, I mean, I remember people like Dr. Stephen LaBerge, who would talk about lucid dreaming. And that's something that certain bush people, the Amazonian Indians, talk about, where they are aware of themselves and they communicate and interact with beings in the dream state very much more fully than simply being an observer. When you're participating in a lucid dream, you're actually, you know, doing things that you actively want to do. And this is one of the things that used to scare the hell out of me. You can fly in when you have a lucid dream. I mean, you can fly in a lot of dreams, but in a lucid dream, you actually think about what you want to do and it happens. It's like you intend something to take place and it actually, actually happens, which is kind of a trippy thing. But when we had Dr. LaBerge on the various conferences, that was very well attended, and his techniques were amazing. Today, we are getting the fundamentals of dreaming, and our guest is Linda Yale Schuler, who is a therapist in Boston, Massachusetts, and her book, Modern Dream Work, gets into problem solving. One of the areas that I like is creativity. You can ask for a creative dream you could call it creative problem solving. She has a whole section in her book on how to work with trauma. And this is a big one. We all have different parts of our, in different parts of our life, bits and pieces of trauma. Sometimes it's much more profound than we realize. And we are not paying attention to these subtle signs of trauma. And this is where dream work can come in as a therapy. So lots of different applications, lots of different ways to interpret dreams. And I mean, this for a long time, again, was not taken with a great deal of seriousness. And now, in the last few decades, dream work is profound. In fact, there are therapists that use dream work almost exclusively. I don't think you can get a degree in dream work, but I mean, you could probably write some kind of dissertation or make it a focus of your practice after you get your credential. But I find that dream memories or remembrance is really the key. And this is where I fall short is I go to sleep and I sleep through my dreams. And so we'll hear today the different techniques for retaining your dreams, remembering and utilizing the dream symbols, interpretations, and so on. Because here we go again. This is another source of consciousness, another source of data or information that is valuable. I mean, it can be really, really valuable. And we'll hear some case studies today of people who were able to use their dreams to solve problems, get more creative, and feel better and experience life more fully. I welcome the dreams. I love talking about dreams, and I think you'll like this program too. Modern Dream Work is our program today.
Right now in Massachusetts, there are over 19,000 registered nurse jobs available. 19,000. It gets better. RNs in Massachusetts earn an average salary of $96,000. Even more in Boston. Get started today at Quincy College, where over 90% of our recent graduates pass the National Nursing Boards on their first try. That's higher than the national average. Learn more about our nursing program and the $2,000 scholarship available for all new ASN students at quincycollege.edu/nurse.
Would you rather have wireless on the most reliable network nationwide or unlimited with 5G for $30 a month per line? You don't have to choose with Xfinity Mobile. Wireless so good it keeps one-upping itself. Most reliable based on Roots Metric U.S. report. Results vary, not an endorsement. $30 per month per line when you get 4 lines.
This is Melissa.
Hi.
She's an RN. That's a registered nurse. And this is Deborah.
Hello.
She's also an RN. Melissa and Deborah work on the same nursing unit and earn the same salary because they both pass the same boards required to become a nurse. So, same, same.
Same, same.
Well, turns out, not exactly same, same. You see, Melissa here owes significantly more than Deborah in college loans.
What?
To become a nurse, you need to pass your exams.
The same exams for every nurse in the state.
That's right, no matter where you go to college. So let's review, shall we? Melissa and Deborah here are both great nurses who passed the same exam and now work on the same unit and earn the same salary.
With very different college debt.
Exactly. Sorry, Melissa. Be smart about what you pay for your nursing education. Get started today at Quincy College, where over 90% of our recent ASN graduates pass the national nursing boards on their first try. That's higher than the national average. Learn more about our nursing program and the $2,000 scholarship available for all new ASN students at quincycollege.edu/info.
Thought about dreams and worked with dreams on my own for a number of years. I'm one of these poor guys that can't remember my dreams. And being a program director for a wellness and personal growth conference, that's almost a big no-no. You should kind of like naturally be able to do this. But I wanted to have somebody on the program to talk a little bit about dreams. And my guest today, for all purposes, is I would consider an expert. Her name is Linda Yale Schiller. Her book that we're talking about today is called Modern Dream Work: New Tools for Decoding Your Dreams. And I got to tell you, it's great to have somebody talk about that, simply because there's so much about dreams that are important to us. Let me tell you a little bit about Linda. She is a mind, body, and spiritual psychotherapist. She's a consultant and author. And an international teacher, she facilitates group dream circles, provides individual, group, and corporate consultation, and trains professionals on working with dreams. All that, we got to ask her about that. In addition to her professional work with dreams, she has been involved with her own dream sharing group for more than 30 years. Linda, welcome to Destiny. Great to have you.
Thank you, Cliff.
What do you tell somebody who walks up to you and goes, I can't remember my dreams. Is this important or not? What would you say to them?
Well, I think the first thing I would say is, if you're asking me the question, it's probably important to you.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And I love the way you phrased it, because a lot of people will say instead, I don't dream. Which isn't the case, because right. We all dream at least 5 to 7 times a night in our REM cycles. So what is true is the way you phrase it is, I don't remember my dreams.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that you came upon dream work at a younger age when you had profound dreams? Or was it something that you intuitively kind of came across and thought, you know what, I need to really begin working on this with a little more effort?
That's a great question. I've had a lot of interviews over the last few years, and I don't think anyone ever asked me that question before. So good for you. As a young person, I was always tuned into the spiritual side of life and, wasn't religious per se, but was very tuned into spirit and paid attention to other ways of connecting with the divine and with the beyond. You know, my girlfriends and I had seances in my bedroom, and
wow.
I was in a youth group where we, led, teen-led services. But dreams wasn't on my radar screen at that point in time, really. I had a few dreams, and I have a few memorable dreams from childhood, too.
Yeah.
But the next step was, before paying attention to my sleeping dreams, I paid attention to my waking dreams. So I have a lot of connection with earth-based spirituality. And I think I was probably a druid in a former life, because when I'm out in nature, I feel, you know, the trees and the rocks talking and having a conversation. And I think my first active memory of that is 1 year after I graduated college. I went with a girlfriend to Europe and did the tour, and we were in Greece. And we were on, which island was it? I think it was on Crete. And we climbed over a mountain in order to get to the nude beach that we heard about. And we saw this vista, and the rocks were like vibrating and talking and speaking. And I remember it was sort of the equivalent of being high without having taken anything. It was an incredible experience.
Yeah.
And I started to tune in to these uncanny ways of knowing. And then it wasn't really, though, until I moved to Boston in my 20s, and I'm a member of a dance community, and a friend of mine moved up from New York City to Boston. She said, "I'm so done with New York. There's really nothing I miss about New York except my dream circle, so I'm going to start one here." So, and she said, "Linda, will you be in my dream circle?" And my response was, "Sure, I'd be happy to."
Yeah.
What's a dream circle?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I said yes, just without even knowing what I was getting into, really. And then that has really created a sort of part of my life purpose and calling, is to do working with dreams and helping people heal through their dream work.
I love it that you're a facilitator, because that's a big deal. When you take on the responsibility of that, you're looking at somebody and going, "I will help as much as I can." And then your other senses take over, so forth and so on. So bravo to you, because, you know, I mean, teachers, you know, you take on responsibility, like I was just mentioning. Where do you think dreams come from, Linda? Do you think it's a combination of the higher self, which could be the soul, interpreted as a soul, subconscious, spirit world communicating with you, bleeding through? Where do dreams come from?
The answer would be yes, D, all of the above. And so I think the way I approach dream work is the way I approach my therapeutic work is too. I'm not unidimensional. I don't say this is the one way or this is the one answer. I want to look at a broad spectrum, and I want to look at a multiplicity of possibilities that could be influencing our psyche or our dream world. So from a very concrete level, what you had for dinner last night can influence how you dream, how your stomach is digesting your food can send signals to your brain, and you may have a dream as a result, whether it's a yummy food that you're having good digestion or having heartburn. You can be influenced by things that are happening in your immediate environment, like right as you are asleep. I'll give you an example. I once had a dream that I was in an earthquake. And it was kind of an unusual dream for me. I don't tend to dream about earthquakes. It wasn't a common theme, but it was quite vivid. And then as I'm waking up, I'm thinking, oh my God, it still feels like the earth is quaking here. And Boston is not a big earthquake center.
Yeah.
Turns out it was a jackhammer digging up the street right outside my house. And it translated into my psyche as, oh, it's an earthquake in my dream. So that can happen. Things that have happened in our life that we are processing or reprocessing will show up in our dream world. Things from yesterday, last week, last year, 25 years ago, and from an intergenerational perspective, where we can carry intergenerational messages passed down from our ancestors that there's something unfinished that needs to be processed. And we somehow have been anointed, so to speak, to be the one to bring it into the light to process it. And then everything you said as well, we get visits from the spirit world. There's ways to differentiate between if you're having a dream about your grandma or a visit from your grandma. And a lot of it, though, is how our unconscious is helping us to digest information that we need to get a better understanding of, whether it's for a creative boost in our writing your book or any other creative endeavor. For any dilemma or problem, we can incubate dreams and then dream on the answer to resolve unfinished business from our lives. And sometimes just for fun, just because, oh, wow, this is really fun. Thank you, Dream Self, for giving me this great story.
Yeah. But I mean, I think the important point you're making is that this is part of the human condition and that we need to recognize dreams more fully. And if you don't remember your dreams, you know, maybe you've shut them off for some reason. This is why a dream journal can help. But talk a little bit about the importance of dreams as a physical human, why they add a dimension to our lives.
So there's a quote that I've used from the Talmud that says, a dream uninterpreted is like a letter unopened.
Wow. That's pretty heavy, Linda. You're throwing a heavy one at us. Or there's a codice or a book here with writing that you need to open and you're leaving it unopened.
That's exactly it. Exactly.
Yeah.
You're getting messages, whether it's from your deepest, highest, wisest self or from other planes and dimensions, depending on your worldview about those things. But there are messages that some part of you is telling you, you're ready to have this message. This message could help you in some way in your life. This message could open new windows and doors for you. So if you ignore it, you're cutting off a whole source of learning that can have the potential to really give you great wisdom and gifts and healing in your life.
Yeah, I love that.
We as Western moderns are just starting to do a better job in remembering the importance of other ways of knowing. But if you look in antiquity, pretty much every major spiritual tradition and religion honors the dreams and the dreamers and elevates them to the highest importance in society, right? Mm-hmm. Shaman, translated into English from the original, I think it's the Abenaki, means he or she who dreams, right? So a shaman is a strong dreamer. And wow. If we think about going back to the Judeo-Christian Bible, who was elevated to the prime importance? People like Joseph, the dreamer, right? He got out of jail, got a cut out of jail free card from the Pharaoh based on his skill in interpreting dreams. He was a slave. He got thrown in jail. He gets elevated to Pharaoh's advisor and right-hand man because of his skill as dream work. And he, by the way, saved the nation from famine because he correctly interpreted the dreams.
Mm, that's amazing. Talk a little bit real quickly, and we're going to get into your three different approaches to dreams, which are fascinating in this book, Modern Dream Work. Talk a little bit about the ancients. What do we know? I mean, you hinted on a couple of figures, but is there a noted Native American tribe or other Native people that we know about who use dream work fairly regularly and write about it or discuss it with others?
So most Native and Indigenous peoples honor the place of the dream in their culture and in their spiritual life. And they turn to the strong dreamers in the tribe for guidance. One group in South America, the Senoi, who sleep together every night in tribes of 12 or family groups of 12s, in a circle, feet in, heads out. And the first thing they do every morning is they turn to each other and share their dreams.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's really cool.
That's
the Senoi in South America. And then in Australia, for example, the Aboriginal native of Australia, their creation story is called Dreamtime. And their whole story of creation is that the gods dreamed us into being.
Hmm.
It's all about the dream. Same in Hindu philosophy and religion. Maya dream, I think it was Maya. I, I don't quote me on the right god or goddess, but one of them dreams that he or she has a big, gorgeous lotus flower that emerged from their navel. And in that dream was born the world. So all wow. over the world, we have these native dreamers.
Yeah, I love that. One of the things that I have encountered are people who, and there's books out there, dream interpretation. That's getting kind of iffy, though, isn't it? Because everybody is different. And if you got one interpretation for all the different dreams, you know, I mean, this person is, means this mm-hmm. or this environment means this, that can get a, to be a problem, can it? What do you say about that?
Absolutely, 100% yes. And I don't even use the word interpretation
yeah.
in my discussion of dreams. So the book is called Modern Dream Work.
Right.
And when I was going back and forth with the publisher about what the title should be, they originally wanted to say something about dream interpretation. And I said, you know, I'm willing to negotiate lots of things in the title to have it, you know, work for you, but I'm not willing to negotiate that word because that's not what I do.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you what your dream means.
Yeah.
Right? I'm working with you to explore all the possible meanings and options that your psyche resonates with. And if we cast a wide net and then we draw it in, eventually we'll get the fish that are right for your palate.
Exactly.
So I'm co-creating or co-facilitating an investigation and an exploration, but I'm not telling you, oh, your dream means this, because you're right, Cliff. There's a million interpretations, and the dream belongs to the dreamer. That's sort of like the gospel of dream work in my dream world with IASD, the International Association for the Study of Dreams. Mm-hmm. The dream belongs first and foremost to the dreamer. So you've got the ultimate authority on what your dream means to you. I might have ideas. I might have thoughts. I might have hits on it. As we say in the dream world, if this were my dream, I might think it meant this. And you can say, oh, yeah, yeah, that resonates for me. Or you could say, oh, no, that's not right for me, which is fine.
Yeah.
But then I got something out of your dream.
Exactly. Hey, let's talk a little bit about this dream that you had. You opened the book about with a story about adopting your daughter. Talk a little bit about it and how you went about interpreting your dream, that it was a positive move to move forward. I really would appreciate hearing from you on that.
Thanks. This was probably like the biggest and most important dream of my life, which is why I kind of, you know, opened the book with it. So my husband and I were in the process of adopting our daughter from China. And in the adoption world, it's called a referral. So we were working with an agency, our owner of the agency, her name was Lillian, and she gave us a referral. And we were, of course, hoping for a baby as young as possible who would have spent as little time as possible in an orphanage before coming home to our family. So we met Lillian and she showed us this little tiny picture. And she said, this is your daughter. And we said, okay, great. And how? And they said, oh, she's 18 months old.
Yeah.
And then they told us her weight. And we said, really? If that's her weight and she's 18 months old, then there's something really wrong here because she's really undernourished then. She was about what a 6-month-old should weigh. So then Lillian says, well, no, let me call China right away and find out, because we never really know when someone's birthday is.
So are you saying you were freaked out when you heard about her weight? You thought, oh, she might have be malnutritioned or something. Right. Okay.
Yeah. So we weren't sure, oh my goodness, is this our baby or not? Right. So she calls China, and China, whoever at the orphanage there, says, oh no, did we say 18? No, we really meant 12 or 13 months, that we just made a mistake in the translation there. And so Lillian says, no, she's really only a year. It's not that much. And she said, but we need to know, do you want this referral, this baby? And if you don't, we'll put her sort of back in the stack, so to speak, and give you another referral. Now, to be back in the stack is not such a great thing, because who knows how long she'd have to wait again for her name to come up. So I exchange a look with my husband, and he nods, and I say, well, you know what, Lillian, this is a really big decision. Can you give me till tomorrow? I want to go home and dream on it. And she said, yes. So I write in my journal that night. This is known as incubating a dream, where you write down a question or a dilemma that you want an answer to and ask your dreaming self to bring you a response. And this time was short. So I didn't have a lot of time. I needed to know that night. So I was sort of, you know, I joke and I say I was really bossy with my dream guide that night. I said, I really need to know. And I said, in clear, definitive terms that are not ambiguous, because I got to say yes or no, because, you know, dreams come in symbols and you have to figure out what they mean.
Yeah.
So I wake up a few times in the night, nothing, nothing, nothing. Then I finally wake up at somewhere 6 or 7 in the morning. I have a dream. I write it down. I said, that's it. And I know what it means. Okay. Here's the dream. The dream was, we have, let me give you the background first, because this is known as contextualizing the dream.
Yeah, you use that word a lot, and I want to define it, but go ahead. And we want to finish the story.
All right. So the background information about the dream, that's what contextualizing means, basically.
Right.
It's the background information that helps you understand what this means.
Right.
We have in my backyard a tool shed that my mother-in-law gave us when we bought the house years ago to keep our gardening tools in. And when the guy came to put it in for us, he was putting it under, we have a sloping ground. And so he had to put it underneath our deck. And he said, oh, it doesn't quite fit in there, but no worries. I can just dig down a little and put in a foundation and then it'll fit fine. And that's what he did. And we have that tool shed under the deck in our yard. So that's the contextualization, the background information. Here's the dream. The dream was we got a tool shed. It was a little bit bigger than we expected, but it fit just fine.
Oh, my God. Honestly, it's kind of black and white, but in a way, it's still you had to work it out. So,
right. Right.
Why is it so, Linda? I mean, I love that story. And that's why I wanted you to talk about it.
Thank you.
Why? I mean, dreams are a tool that is part of being a human being, right?
Yeah.
We don't know who installed it. It's part of just our genetic makeup, probably. Who knows, you know? Or, you know, Homo sapiens sapiens, as we developed this dream facility, came about in our brains or something. We don't know. But how do we work with it more regularly? People like myself who don't work with dreams enough. What should we be doing to access this? I mean, because the way you're talking about it is it's so important to you. It's like dreaming is like breathing, is what it sounds like to me. That's how important you make it sound. Those people who don't remember their dreams or care about their dreams, why should they be using it as a real tool to tap into their higher levels of consciousness or the guides, spirits, even, you know, beings who are not from our dimension coming through, who we may have a connection to from previous. Talk about that for a minute. Why is that very important?
Well, it's important to you and I, and probably important to the majority of our listeners, but it's not important to everyone. So I really want to honor, you know, what's my cup of tea may not be somebody else's cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are, they're sort of left brain people and right brain people in the world. People who are much more interested in linear, down to earth, scientific, mathematical, it doesn't exist if I can't touch it work. And thank God for those people, right? Because they create, you know, a lot of the technology for the, we couldn't be having this interview if it wasn't for those left brain people.
Okay.
So, and they might say, dreams, whatever. It's not so important. That's fine. But for those of us who are more right-brained and are attending to and interested in, right? So it's about what's our value to? What do we value? Do we value uncanny or unusual ways of knowing? Do we value a spiritual connection? Do we value finding answers in unusual, non-linear ways? Mm-hmm. Looking for synchronicities in our life, as Jung would talk about. That's what sort of a waking dream is, attention to the synchronicities. If we value that, then we can choose and decide that we want to make a practice of remembering our dreams more. And that's like any other muscle that we want to strengthen, right? We work at it. So there are steps you can take. One is you have to decide this matters to me. And if it doesn't, that's okay. But if it does, you make a decision. This is a value to me. So what am I going to do?
That's very good. Yeah.
Should I keep going, or did you have something you wanted to say?
Well, I want you to keep going, but then I want to talk about using intention. But
great. I'll come back to that. But let me just say what I usually recommend to people for starters, just get a journal, keep it by your bed, keep a writing implement. And when you have a dream, write it down. And if you don't want to use I'm old fashioned, I use, you know, paper and pencil journal, type it into your computer or your laptop or your phone. Or if you can't speak it, you know, if you can't write it, dictate it. And then just translate out into type it out later. If you don't get some kind of a written record, you'll probably forget it.
Right.
Because dreams are very ephemeral. They're like wisps of smoke. And I'm sure you and I know most of us have had the experience. We have this amazing dream and we wake up and 10 minutes later, it's like, oh, what was that dream? I don't remember anymore.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So for starters, get it down on paper or on a screen somewhere.
Why does that help, Linda? Does that help because the subconscious goes, okay, they want me to remember this, so we're going to open a pathway and have more dreams to be remembered or something? What do you think?
Well, I think there's several reasons. And one is if we're valuing something, right, energy flows where attention goes, right? So if we value it and we elevate it in importance, will tend to remember things more. That's for starters. But also, we use different parts of our brain when we're sleeping and dreaming, when we're sleeping and not dreaming, and when we're awake. So basically, we are interconnecting or reweaving new neural networks in our brain to connect between our sleeping self and our waking self. So there's an overlap that helps us then remember.
I love that. That's the technical term is that neuroplasticity.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. And I didn't know that applied to dreams. So you can actually build a bridge to your dream state brain to your with your conscious awake brain. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Wow.
What recording it in some way does is build that bridge. Yes.
I love that. So I interrupted you before you started this thought on using intention, in launching a dream. Does that help at all? If you're in bed or you're resting and you want to dream and you're like, I intend to have a dream, does that make any difference at all?
Absolutely. Yes. It's the rough equivalent to dream incubation. So you can intend simply to have a dream and remember it without saying, I want to dream about X, Y, or Z. And the intention will help sort of set the stage for better chance of recall. So the last thing you put your conscious attention to before you go to sleep at night is more likely to show up in your dream than something else.
That's great.
Right? Because, you know, we have those in-between states of consciousness when you're just falling asleep and when you're just waking up. And Jung called them the hypnopompic and the hypnagogic zones. So we're really in that liminal in-between space. And whatever we think about when we're drifting off to sleep in that liminal space, we can then carry with us into the sleep realm.
I love that. Talk a little bit about waking dreams and being asleep. Describe what a waking dream would be. I think you call it synchronicity, but I mean, I'm so focused on stuff when I'm awake. I don't know what that means. Can you describe that or define it a little better?
Sure. So synchronicity is a word that Carl Jung coined, and it means basically the simultaneous co-occurrence with meaning of seemingly unrelated things, right? So you can happen to notice something synchronistic, or you can intend to be looking for something that is the equivalent of what I call a waking dream. So an example of a happenstance occurrence is, I think I wrote about it in the book, when I You know, in our busy lives, we don't have time to just like put everything on hold and sit down and write. So I took myself away on a writing retreat for a few days, and I was out in the Berkshires. And one day I went for a walk around the pond, and it's 10 o'clock in the morning. I look up, and what's there at 10 o'clock in the morning? A great big owl. Now, we don't usually see owls in the day.
Yeah, it's true.
Usually they come at night, and it was big and it was right there on my path. So I looked at the owl and the owl looked at me. And then, you know, that frisson of knowing when you kind of get like that shiver of like, ooh, yeah, that's something.
The aha.
It's an aha. The hair kind of stands up on the back of our neck a little bit. I got that when I saw the owl.
Huh.
It's like, okay, so what are the odds? What are the chances that when I'm here working on a book about dreams, that in the morning when owls don't show up, I see the harbinger of night? An owl is a night bird. So for me, I kind of took that as a sign that this is going to be, he'll be my guide or my totem animal for the next few days anyway, as I put words down and write this
okay.
book.
So what you're saying is that there's symbology in the daytime dreams or the aha moments. Those are what you're interpreting as somewhat of a dream state, but maybe not. Maybe dream's the wrong word. Maybe it's like you're saying synchronicities mm-hmm. that are subtle enough that are impactful. We just need to be, I think what you're saying is we need to be more aware of our environment, perhaps.
Yes. Yes. So it's tuning in to the possibility that we may get knowledge and information from unlikely places in our surroundings, both while we're asleep and when we're awake.
That's great.
One is that like sort of happenstance, oh, I happen to see an owl. But in terms of intention in a waking dream, you know, when you wake up and you have a dream, sometimes you know it sort of the messages right away. And other times you have to kind of work at it. But then we talked about incubating a dream, having an intention around, I want to dream about X because I'm curious or I need information or I have unresolved issues or whatever it is. You can do that in your waking life too and say, I'm struggling with this dilemma of, you know, should I take that job that was offered across the country or should I stay where I am and not take this new job? But just for example. So you can say to yourself at night, let me have a dream that'll help me know the answer to this question. You can also, when you walk around in your daily life, say, I'm going to be on the lookout for a sign that for some reason is going to be the answer to the question for me. So you're walking around and you're holding that question. Let's say whether you're going to stay on the East Coast or the West Coast, just making that up because for simplicity. You're on the East Coast now. Should you move to the West Coast or not? So you're walking around. You're just taking a walk. You're going through your neighborhood. And, you know, you see your neighbors and you see your friends and you see some trees. And then you go down to the main street and you see a billboard. And on the billboard, you look up and you see California, here we come. An ad for something.
Yeah, right.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We're going to take a short commercial break and we'll be right back with you.
CareerBuilder is made for people who have that thing. You know, those superpowers that make you good at your job, the skills you bring to work. And CareerBuilder knows those skills make you right for other jobs too. Higher paying jobs with benefits, jobs you never thought of trying. Are you a people person? Work from home as a customer service rep? Are you organized and like driving? Become a delivery driver. You have the skills it takes, and CareerBuilder.com has the jobs to get you hired fast. Visit CareerBuilder.com.
Hello, Discover here to explain our cash back match. Here's how it works. We give you cash back for using your Discover card on the things you were going to buy anyway. Then we match that cash back in your first year. And that's why we call it cash back match. Now to recap and say cash back one more time. We match all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations apply.
Millions of Americans are getting back to work. CareerBuilder calls it the great rehire. And we want to help you get the best jobs before everyone else. CareerBuilder gives you the competitive edge to get the job you want, at the salary you want, with the benefits you want. We even send job alerts, so your perfect job lands right in your inbox. Go to CareerBuilder.com today, or get left with whatever jobs are left. Find your next job fast at CareerBuilder.com.
My guest today is Linda Schuyler, and she has been working for decades with people and their dreams. Not only dream interpretation, but dreams as therapy. And her book, Modern Dream Work, is an insider's view of different techniques for working with dreams, developing dream life, but also documenting them and using them for all types of therapy. Let's talk about the three different approaches to dreams that you feature in the book. We don't have a heck of a lot of time to drill down, but let's at least give them a whirl. Sure. The integrated body approach, what is that program?
Sure. So the integrated embodied dream work approach basically means I don't say I do dream work just in one way. I look at dream work from a multiplicity of perspectives that includes looking at the story of the dream and the emotions of the dream and what our cognitions can tell us at the images of the dream. And then I look at the embodied felt sense of the dream as well, borrowing from work of people like Eugene Gundlin, who writes Focusing, and all of the somatic practitioners out there today who talk about our embodied emotional self. Mm-hmm. So when I'm working with someone with a dream, in addition to asking about what happened and what's the landscape and what is going on in the dream, I want them to pay attention to what does their body sensation feel like as they tell the dream while they're in the dream. Because we can get clues from our physical bodies as well. And in working with the dream, sometimes we sit and we talk, and other times we get up and we move around and we do dream theater and we do embodied dream work. And we put our body in different positions. And actually this summer, I'm teaching at a couple of conferences at the IISD conference and then at Omega Institute in August, where I'm going to be doing dream theater of embodied dream work, where we're acting out each other's dreams.
Yeah, excellent. I love Omega. They do great work. Yeah. So as a therapist, these are the three approaches that we're talking about are things that you use in your practice is what I'm...
Sure. And the other piece in the integrated embodied approach is also the spiritual dimension. So I'm looking for, does this person have any religious or spiritual connection? And what other spiritual connections might be applicable in this dream that are relevant for them, whether or not it's been part of their life up until now? I'm not superimposing any of my belief systems, but I'm open to exploring. Is it Christianity? Is it Buddhism? Is it, as I mentioned before, I was a druid in a past life. You know, do you have an affinity with ancient, you know, Kabbalah? What resonates here that we might see the dream pointing to?
Yeah, I like the somatic aspect of that first one because, you know, we're obviously in our body. And if you have little tweaks or little aches and pains, you can really relate those to an issue. And I think that's great. All right, let's do the second one, which is, I'm going to say, is this the PARDS method or is that the term?
PARDES.
PARDES. Okay. Yeah. P-A-R-D-E-S. PARDES.
Yes.
Okay. What's that? What's that all about?
Well, this method is based on a Kabbalistic way of reading the Holy Book in Judaism, which is the Torah. And it is an acronym and a word in and of itself. So Pardes, the word Pardes is a Hebrew word that means orchard. But it also stands for something, each of the four letters. The P is for Pshat, which in English is the simple or the base level. The R is Remez, which means hint or hinted at. The D or Dalet is from Drash, from the word to chase after, Lidrosh. And the S or Samech is from Sod, which means secret or hidden. So these four layers that we read Holy Scripture are also, I took this concept of reading at ever deepening layers of meaning to apply it to doing dream work. So we start with the simple layer of the dream, which is kind of the story of the dream itself. And sort of just on one foot here, the second layer, the hinted at layer is like, what are our first associations, right? Oh, this dream reminds me of this. It makes me think of this, our first associations. Then we dig a little deeper, the drash or the pursued layer. When we really work, when we do embodied dream work or gestalt, or we do if associations and symbols and metaphors, we're digging deeper into the material of the dream. And wow. Then the last layer is the sowed. So what is the mystical significance, the spiritual significance? Where is this not only our dream, but perhaps a dream for the planet as well? So it's bigger than just us, bigger than our dream. So those are the four layers.
That seems like it has a religious connotation too. Somebody who might be more faith-based may enjoy that technique because they can relate to the research aspect of it. Would you suggest? What would you say about that?
I mean, absolutely. Someone who's faith-based could appreciate it, but you don't have to be faith-based to just take the word itself and the English translation. And the concept is basically there are multiple layers of meaning in every dream. Just like we talked about before, there's not just one interpretation. There are several that are simultaneously true. Right? It means this and it means this. Oh, and if we dig a little deeper, oh, there's this too. And if we dig a little deeper, we can see, how does this resonate for the state of the world right now? I have a couple of dreamers in my group who I can always count on to have a dream that somehow is resonating with something that we as a people or as a planet are also struggling with, whether it's climate change or whether it's political distress or whether it's war. It shows up at one of the layers of their dreams too. So it's bigger than the personal eye of the dream.
Wow. This last one I love is called the Gaia, the guided active imagination approach. I love it. What's that one about? I just love the name.
Thank you. I'll thank my dream circle for helping me come up with the acronym.
The Gaia dream approach. Go ahead.
Yeah. So this is the one I developed specifically for using with nightmares. You can use it for any kind of dream, but what it does is it takes the Jung's active imagination, which is you dream the dream forward. You go into the dream and you interact with the characters. You think of what else could happen after we woke up, right? Because one of the things we say is this isn't where your dream necessarily ended. It's just where you woke up. What happens if you dream it forward? So when people are having nightmares, often their dreams are very distressful. So I combined several ways of doing good active dream work with my background and experience in doing trauma treatment for years and years and years to make a very safe, contained protocol to help people carefully, gradually approach their scariest nightmares so they don't become overwhelmed or overreact because of working on the dream. Because I've had people come to me saying, oh, my God, I talked about this dream with someone and it made it worse rather than better. They scared me to death. Someone said I'm psychotic. Someone else said I should have a brain scan. And
it's like, oh. Yeah.
So I was like, let's take a breath and let's start with safety. So the Gaia approach, that's where the guided comes in, is there sort of two parts in the protocol. And then in my next book, I added a bridge. So I've expanded what's in the first book a little bit. But part one of the protocol is all based on best practice trauma treatment of safely and carefully building a container of what do you need to stay really safe, whether the images, the thoughts, the people, the allies you want to call in before you even go look at the dream. Because if you have a really scary nightmare, you can get like re-traumatized if you go looking at the nightmare and you don't feel safe enough to keep it, you know, sort of far enough away from you. So part one of the protocol is looking for ways to set up and establish safety very carefully outside the dream. The bridge is then to look inside the dream from the outside. So I'm not inviting you into your dream yet, but from the outside peeking in, is there anything you didn't notice the first time around that might be an ally or a comfort item or a resource or a way of keeping you safe. So you're in the dream, and let's say you didn't notice at first, but over there on the ground is this lovely soft blue blanket, and you can pick it up and you can wrap it around you and you can feel very safe and protected. And it was there all along in your dream. You just hadn't noticed before. And then part two, so that would be the bridge. And then part two is you with all your allies and resources, be they real people, real animals, spirit animals, totem animals, departed relatives, you know, your blankie from childhood, an invisibility cloak, whatever it is for you to feel safe, you bring those with you into the dream. And then you start working from the inside of the dream in part two to figure out what better resolution besides ending in fear can you come up with from having an idea.
I like that. And that was my next question. What do people do who have repeated nightmares? I mean, I've heard about people having dreams where they're being killed having horrific events going on, that and they wake up and they're in school, they're sweating, and I mean, it's terrible. What can they do?
So a couple of things. One is, when that happens, if you haven't done your prep work yet, when you wake up, remind yourself that you're safe right now. Mm-hmm. Look around your room, find a grounding object or person if you're sleeping with someone or next to someone. Put on a little nightlight if you can. Okay, I'm here. I'm in my bed. I'm on, 123 Oak Street. I'm safe. Because when you wake up, you're literally, your body is still in the dream state. Your body is still reacting to whatever was chasing you in the dream. So for starters, you've got to remind your physical body, oh, it's okay. We're here. We're not there. So that's one thing to do. If someone is prone to nightmares, whether they're reoccurring or not reoccurring themes or stories, before going to sleep at night, set up safety and protection for themselves in their room. Surround themselves with a bubble of light. Pick the nicest color that makes them feel safe. Pick a rainbow if you want. Whatever it is, surround yourself or your bed or your room with a circle of protection. So that's one thing to do. Mm-hmm. You can then also write in your journal to strengthen the boundary between yourself and your dreams and nightmares. In other words, to keep out anything that's too much to handle and only let in what your system can tolerate without going into overdrive. Mm-hmm. You can literally write something like that down in your journal and kind of practice saying that before you go to sleep. You can, if you're good with imagery, you can imagine shutting an imaginary door, like closing the portal between this world and the dream world before you go to sleep. And if you want, you can even, accompany it with the sound of a closing door. Well, some people want to put their hands on their head over their crown chakra so that the dreams or nightmares, have less chance of sort of seeping in.
But I mean, wouldn't you say also as a therapist that someone who's having these violent dreams or horrible nightmares, that's kind of a wake-up call or some kind of messaging as well, wouldn't you say?
Oh, 100%. Yes.
Yeah.
So that person should begin to unpack as best as they can on their own. But if they're really bad nightmares, I encourage them to work with other people. Work with a therapist, find a good friend, create a dream circle so you're not doing this alone. Right?
Yeah.
But one of the things we know, the nature of trauma is that people feel alone and abandoned and not helped in the middle of their trauma. So part of the healing is to be in connection and conversation with somebody else as well, to be accompanied on the journey.
Yeah, I would think that it would be a benefit to have somebody hear what, unless they're, really out of touch and they're going to go say something like, go see a therapist now, or you're insane, I'm leaving.
You have to choose wisely, right?
Who you're. Yeah, you got to be careful who you talk to.
Know that these dreams are coming to you with some message. And if someone is getting repetitive dreams and nightmares, that's an SOS from the unconscious. It really is, right? That's saying, hello, there's something really important that you haven't fully understood or resolved or digested yet. And what happens then is that our psyche ups the ante and the dreams get more and more frequent or more and more distressing until we say, okay, I hear you. I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to examine what's going on here. What's the symbolism? What's the metaphor? What's mm-hmm. the meaning? What is it connected to? What is this connected to that I need to bring some healing to?
Yeah, I like that. Years ago, I had a doctor out here in California named Dr. Stephen LaBerge, who and he was very active in, and I can't think of the name of it. It's not virtual dreams, but he wanted
lucid dreaming.
Lucid dreaming. And he got into a whole program of actively engaging by beginning to look at your hand and seeing that you're, you know, a being in these dreams, and then actively engage the other being or person or whoever's in your dream. What do you say about that kind of therapy?
I think lucid dreaming is wonderful with a caveat. Sometimes it's just plain fun, because if you get lucid in a dream and you're conscious, being lucid means you know you're dreaming while you're dreaming.
Yes, which is kind of...
It's really cool. You can fly and you can have adventures and you can do all sorts of really cool, fun things. That's awesome.
Yeah.
When someone is a trauma survivor and they have serious, distressing nightmares, I would recommend doing a lot of preparatory work to make sure that they feel safe before going lucid in a dream on purpose. Right. If you happen to go lucid in a dream, then you do your best to remind yourself, okay, I'm dreaming. This fiery dragon is not real. It's in my dream, but it's not going to kill me. So whatever you need to do. But if you do it in a slightly more controlled way, for example, using the Gaia method, set yourself up for safety first. And if you feel comfortable and you want to be lucid in a dream, to say, I will stay safe and knowledgeable that I am in control and can stop this when I need to, or I have all my allies with me to help me if things kind of go south, then by all means, feel free to explore lucid dreaming with nightmares.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's kind of advanced in many ways. We want to start at least and remember our dreams. I think that's really
that's
critical.
That's the starter, of course.
That's the starter, yeah. You have a couple of nice areas in the book. Tell us about activating healing dreams, or other words, I don't know if that means healing your emotions or healing a physical problem. What does that mean?
Well, it could be either, right? So as a psychotherapist, I have a perspective that we are not meant to stay wounded, right? We are meant to move toward healing. Right. And this is a philosophy that, you know, various forms of therapeutic approaches. So I use that in my dream work as well, so that when we work with the dream, my orientation is going to be, let's find the gift or the healing messages in this dream, even if it's really scary. What's the service that this dream has come to provide for you? What's the information this dream has come to provide? And we want to find the overlap or connection between what's going on either in your emotional distress or your physical distress. And sometimes they're very interconnected, that your dream can point you to. Sometimes a dream called a prodromal dream, which means like a medic alert dream, will send you to the doctor. And I'm always, one layer of the dream work is, could this possibly be pointing to a physical problem that your dream is alerting to you to? Go get a checkup. Go get some blood work.
Give us an example, Linda, of what that would be. Would it be something where in your dream, say you have a problem with your left arm, would the arm be weird colored? Would it be, is the sky the limit? I guess it would be, because it depends on the individual's imagination.
You answered your own question.
Yeah, I just did. You're right. Okay. So that's great.
It could be metaphorical, right?
Metaphorical, exactly.
Right. So I'll just give you a quick example that, you know, one gentleman who was working with the dream was coming in over and over again with, he had dripping faucets in his dream. And then that's the faucets he would try. He got a plumber and that didn't work. And then another faucet in the house was dripping. And then there's a leak in the ceiling. So this is a series of dreams with like similar messages. So he said, Joe, I was making up a name for him. Do you have any plumbing issues in your physical body? And I said, well, not that I know of. I said, just to be on the safe side, why don't you go get a checkup? And sure enough, he had very, very early prostate cancer.
Wow. Wow.
That he would not have caught had he not paid attention to the drippy faucets in his dream.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the kind of messaging that I love. Those kind of stories I love, because this is another aspect of our consciousness, a conscious awareness that we can utilize to have more success and more pleasurable lifetimes. Yeah. Talk about approaching a creative dream. You want to, as we have been both doing, write, or we want to start painting, or we want to start something creative. How do we get a dream going in that area?
Okay. Many, many artists, musicians, creative people of all kinds have had their work of art come through in their dream. You know, one of the most famous ones is Mary Shelley said she dreamt the entire story of Frankenstein. And when she wrote up, she basically just had to record her dream and there was a story intact.
Wow.
Yeah. Marc Chagall, you know, his paintings are so dreamlike. And he says, yes, I dreamed these images and then I painted them. So tuning into the story, one of my members of my dream circle is a children's book author. And she says that frequently she will have an idea for one of her stories based on the dreams that she's been having. And then she'll turn those dreams into a children's book.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. Great story. Yeah. You don't mention plant medicines. You do actually mention ayahuasca, but I don't know. I mean, ayahuasca is so potent. I mean, using plant medicines to activate a dream. Do you have any suggestions or any thoughts on that?
It's a matter of taste. I mean, no pun intended. And I personally have never tried ayahuasca because I think it would be, for me, more than I'm a thin boundaried person. I easily, you know, travel between worlds anyway. So I don't want something that's going to send me like, that far away.
Light years away.
I can get into a shamanic trance just from drumming. Thank you very much, without needing the ayahuasca. Okay. But other people who are more thick boundaried or who just like the feeling, right, are welcome to try. You know, some people use marijuana. There are a few other plant medicines that I can't think of off the top of my head.
Well, you do mention peyote, and you know, you don't mention DMT, but we've had people talking about DMT on these shows before.
Right,
but
that's what is it? Ecstasy, right?
Something else. Yeah. But right. It's a very strong psychotropic that activates right. the brain and the trips are amazing. Right. I haven't done any of that kind
well,
of stuff.
Well, there are trips you can take when you ingest a substance that are like wild dreams, right? Wow. And then there are wild dreams you can take without ingesting a substance that are like a trip. So your call, do you want to mix them and blend them? Do you not? Do you want to do a little of both? I say personal preference on that.
Yeah.
When you change your brain chemistry, the quality of your dreams will change. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So then
I was wondering, you know, it's funny that you mentioned chemistry. It's like, it's almost like someone should write a book on what foods to eat to elicit dreams. If you eat an Italian meal, this dream will happen. If you eat a German heavy meat laden, what do you say to that?
I know there are books or at least parts of books that like eat this for better dreaming, but I don't know if they say which ethnic food group will give you different kinds of dreams.
The book we're talking about is called Modern Dream Work, New Tools for Decoding Your Dreams. My guest has been Linda Liel Schiller. What do you want to leave us with on this book? It's a great step into discovering dreams, but why should people consider this book, Linda?
Thank you. So the one thing I'll say is the subtitle is actually New Tools for Decoding Your Soul's Wisdom is the subtitle.
Oh, I missed a word. That's funny.
Two words. That's okay.
Okay,
so
thank you.
Modern Dream Work, New Tools for Decoding Your Soul's Wisdom. And the subtitle, I think, really kind of encapsulates my philosophy about dream work and why people might be interested in reading the book, this book, and other material on dreams, is that we have access to many, many worlds that can give us help in our waking daily walk around life. I tell some of my clients, free therapy every night. If you pay attention to your dreams, write them down, look to see what messages they're giving you, because we get messages from our unconscious self or from the beyond, depending on, or both, depending on your philosophy. That's just kind of a pity, right? If we miss it, it's just a rich resource that can help enhance our lives.
Yeah, I love that. Let's give everybody a prelude. You have a new book coming out this fall. We are definitely going to have you back. I got a confirmation from your publicist. This book is working almost as a therapeutic tool, isn't it?
Yeah. The next book, it's called PTS Dreams. And the subtitle is Transform Your Nightmares from Trauma Through Healing Dream Work.
Okay.
And this book marries the intersection between trauma treatment and dream work with nightmares into a way to work in a healing, safe way with your nightmares. And it's both for lay people who are interested and for professionals. So it's really an overlap book. But in addition to doing the dream work, there are a couple chapters on, there's one chapter on, you know, how does trauma affect or influence our dreams? And then the topic of dissociation, which is a waking phenomena, but also can show up in our dream life as well. And sometimes the dreams come through as a message from our dissociated self parts.
I'm looking so forward to that
a
book.
Of yeah. Healing for nightmare sufferers.
Yeah, I like that. nightmares seem to be an issue for people in certain, you know, lifestyles, I guess. We don't know how nightmares occur. There's all kinds of possibilities. So a book on nightmares is a great thing. So we'll look forward to seeing that. So Linda, do you have a website that people can go to get more information about your work?
Yes, there are three websites I can give you. The first is www.moderndreamwork.com. Name of the book, moderndreamwork.com. I have a new website up for my new book, www.ptsdreams.com. And then I have the website that's my general overall website for myself and my work and my practice, which is Linda Yael Schiller, all one word, LindaYael. schiller.com. And that gives you an overview of who I am and what I do.
Perfect. Thank you for that. Linda, it's been a real great pleasure and continued success. We'll probably talk to you after the summertime. We'll have you back.
Fabulous. I will look forward to reconnecting, Cliff, and send me the links and I'll pass this on to my people so they can tune into you and your show.
Definitely. Thanks again.
All right. So long.
This is Sarah's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
Driving cross-country with two young children is ambitious, to say the least. Then our check engine light came on. We pulled into O'Reilly Auto Parts and they tested it. Turned out it was a faulty sensor. They referred us to a great mechanic just down the street and we were back on the road in no time.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In these challenging economic times, there's lots of information out there in the news, blogs, podcasts, even from your coworkers and family. And all that noise can make financial planning difficult. But at Washington Trust Wealth Management, having a conversation with a trusted advisor can make all the difference. If you have questions about financial planning or investments, get advice you can trust. Washington Trust Wealth Management has been helping clients achieve their financial goals for more than a century. Let them help you write your wealth story. Visit washtrustwealth.com.
I think after speaking with Linda, it offers me hope to retain and begin chronicling my dreams. I should be more proactive. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the negatives, it's like, well, you know, I'm having a dream and then I have to wake up and write it down in the middle of the night. I need my sleep. I don't want to wake up. What the hell is that all about? Well, I mean, I think if you make it a simple procedure, I know I like her suggestion of using a recorder, because I have a recorder on my phone. I have an app that records like a professional recorder. So I could just switch that on. But then I get, you know, you're not cognizant of anything when you wake up in the middle of the night. You're like, you know, groggy and you're like, what? But I think it's worth the effort to, you know, record, get down the basics of a dream so that your brain is learning that you want to know about these dreams. And then you go, then you start interpreting. So it's fun and it is worth, in my estimation, it is worth the effort to take this stuff down. Because, you know, I mean, I have questions I need answered. You know, I can't be calling the therapist up every week and going, you know, what does this mean? What's this mean? I mean, I need, some of the stuff's black and white. Some of it, you know, you begin to get a hint of and sense of, you know. And I love her synchronicity approach where she was talking about walking out by a lake and she saw this big owl. I see owls when I walk in the evening all the time. And I'm a huge fan of the owl population where I live here in Northern California. So, but I mean, that she was just giving us a hint of how to interpret dreams, the synchronicities. I think those were the daydreams, the awareness of connections and patterns and things like that. I mean, it's important. This is very, very important that we continually be aware of the messages of our reality, of the opportunities for growth. And, you know, dreams is a excellent tool. It's a wonderful tool. So anyhow, I hope you enjoyed that. I think she's wonderful. We're going to have her back. In fact, I think she is scheduled back to talk about trauma, working with trauma in your dreams. That's her book coming out in September 8th, I think she said. So we'll have her back on to talk about that. I mean, that's, if we can save money, avoid the therapist, you know, we need to do that. If you have chronic issues, if you're, you know, getting a lot of help from therapy, great. And I'm one for working with therapists when there's really a challenge in your life. I think I mentioned a while ago when my grandfather died, I was so devastated that I was in therapy for, I think it was almost a year. Because he basically, I mean, he was a huge influence. And I've mentioned this before. He was very worldly and influenced me on multiple levels, more so than my parents. And when he passed, I was shocked and unhappy. I went into a state of depression, to be frank about it. So I went to a therapist and that was great. We worked on it and it was great. It was a way to relieve the depression and get back on my feet. So, but with dreams, here's another form of working with messages, working with your brain, your unconscious, and those support mechanisms, be them spirits and whatever. You know, and I don't want to freak people out, you know, when you're dreaming, oh my God, there's going to be a spirit or there's going to be an alien, there's going to be, that freaks people out. And I don't want to freak people out. I think that our guidance, you can call it your soul or your higher self, is there to monitor what you receive. And that might be a reason why I haven't been actively remembering and having dreams that I remember, because I used to have fairly traumatic dreams, you know, scary dreams. So anyhow, fun to have her on the program. Hey, we're heading to Mexico again. It's going to be the Labor Day week. This is not to be missed. We take small groups, 20 to 25, sometimes a little few more, sometimes 30 people, with us to Mexico. And this year, it's Central and South Mexico. We all meet in Mexico City. We'll see some Aztec ruins. And then we head to the ocean. We go to Vera Hermosa. From there, we go to La Venta, which is the heart of the Olmec world. Some of the museums there I haven't seen and that are supposed to be outstanding. We head south after that and we hit Palenque. And Palenque is one of the crown jewels of the Maya empire, they really did a number. It's been there for thousands and thousands of years. Multiple generations of Maya have built and were creating wonderful temples, wonderful pyramids. And guess what? We can climb on most of them. So we can climb, we can connect, and we can interact with these places. We'll go from Palenque to Chiapas. From Chiapas, we conclude the tour in Yucatan. And in Yucatan, we visit a number of different sites, including Uxmal, my all-time favorite, which includes the Magician of the Pyramid. And then the old girl herself, Chichen Itza. I call her the old girl because everybody knows Chichen Itza. But if you haven't been there, it is an eyeful. It's quite amazing. You'll love it there. For more information, go to earthancients.com/tours. See the entire itinerary. We've made it very reasonable. It's significantly under the typical rate. And fill out the form, check it out, and join us. September 2nd through the 13th. It's going to be a blast. All right, that's it for this week. I want to thank my guest today, Linda L. Sheeler, and as always, our in-house staff of Ruth Thomas, Mark Foster, and everybody who edits and puts the program together. You guys rock! All right, take care, be well, and we'll talk to you next time.